Students with disabilities, I think, to the most possible way, feel like they're just any other student in the class.
They're just a kid. I'm a kid.
Yeah, they're just a kid. And we talk a lot about everyone's unique needs. Mm-hmm. We identify that everyone has strengths and challenges. Everyone has obstacles to overcome. We really focus on a growth mindset. So I don't think that our students really associate with the word disabled. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll have parents say things like, "Maya, you don't focus on my child's disabilities. You focus on their capabilities." And that is like the biggest compliment we could possibly ever have.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Annie Fowler. Annie is the head of school at Hillsdale Preparatory School in Hillsdale, Michigan, my old stomping ground. Annie, it's so good to have you here today. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about your role and a little bit more about Hillsdale Prep.
Sure. So we are a K-8 charter school, and we serve approximately 60 students in Hillsdale County. Our students are from all over the county, some even in neighboring counties. And we, I serve as the head of school. That's kind of a mixed role of superintendent, principal, some other things kind of mixed in there. But we really pride ourselves on the way that we serve all students, but especially students with special needs, students with disabilities. And we also house two countywide programs through our intermediate school district. So we have an autism spectrum disorder classroom and a moderately cognitively impaired classroom that are countywide programs, but they're housed in our building. And so we work really hard to make sure we're including those students in our everyday general ed programming as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a lot of plates. You're spinning a lot of plates. But when you're in a school that size, sometimes, you know, just, okay, I got this hat on today. Now I'm going to wear this hat, right? And it can be moment to moment, right?
Oh. That's exactly right. And I've been doing this role for 7 years, and it has been so fulfilling. And, you know, I've built some really wonderful relationships and done some really, we've really worked together to do some amazing things at our school. Awesome. And so I'm excited to share the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So what great things are going on there. I know you said something about an inclusive model. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we really pride ourselves on being a leader in our county on inclusive practices. And so what that really means is just creating a culture of belonging for all students. Mm-hmm. And so we are modeling trauma-informed practices. We are ensuring that students with disabilities are in their least restrictive environment. That means gen ed first and most when it's appropriate.
Right.
And we work together as a staff and as a community to just really make sure that we're fulfilling that every day. That means that we're constantly reinventing the wheel. We're constantly reimagining what that looks like. And we're making sure that we're meeting the needs of every individual student that comes through the threshold of our door.
That's fantastic. Yeah. When you do that, the kids win.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's really great. So tell me, like, what does it look like on an IEP? When you're setting up an IEP and an inclusive model, how do you, for somebody that maybe wants to go in that direction, but doesn't, you know, also the paperwork, we have to make sure we get the paperwork right.
Yeah.
So what does that look like?
Well, I mean, it really is, if we're talking about the document itself, we're really just talking about making sure that we have really like robust explanations of what does that look like, right? Mm-hmm. What does inclusion look like from the minute they walk in the building until the minute they leave? So every setting throughout the day, every situation, what are we doing and what does a student need to be successful in the environment in which they're in? Now, our students do receive resource room time, mm-hmm. and that can look, depending on what the student's needs, that kind of is a mixed of, we have one special ed teacher, but she really does provide all of our special ed services in terms of the special education teacher. So she's pushing into classrooms and supporting students within their gen ed setting. And then those students that need are also being pulled out and receiving individualized specialized instruction in the resource room as well. And so just really capturing that in the document itself, making sure that the student special ed minutes reflect what their needs are and what the setting in which they're happening, and making sure that supplementary aids and services align to their identified needs. And also, you know, it's very clear of whose job is what. What are the roles and responsibility of everyone on the team? It's very important to make sure that our parents are really included in that process. I know that having a child with a disability and entering a room for an IEP meeting can be extremely intimidating. And so we really strive to kind of bring down that wall and make sure that we're all operating as one cohesive team. And that means having difficult conversations, being willing to always presume positive intentions, and making sure that every decision we make is in the best interest of the child. And that means we're leaving our egos at the door and we're just talking about how do we service individual students. We don't want any cookie cutter IEPs where just every student is getting the same thing, because they're meant to be individualized. So they're meant to be very specific for that child and to meet their unique needs.
Right. So then what does it look like for the child then when they come to school, and what is a typical, it's individualized, so I'm asking a tough question, but like generally speaking, how do you make that happen? How do you make sure that they are getting what they need and yet they're still being included? And how have the other students, do you have bullying? Is it difficult? Has it been really positive? What is the experience been for those kids that are on an IEP, I guess?
I would say that generally speaking, our inclusive model has been highly beneficial for everyone involved.
That's nice.
So all of our students are, you know, they have a general education teacher, and they're included in everything. You know, even some of our students that they may be in some of the cooperative countywide programs and they might spend small amounts of time in general education, they're still included in things that might seem small and might seem unimportant, but we know that they do foster a sense of belonging. So they're assigned a locker, or a cubby. Their birthday is on the wall with other students. You know, just those things that it's easy to look past. We really make sure we're very clear about our language that we use as adults, because we know that, as with any kind of marginalized community, that there's sometimes implicit bias that we have to really keep ourselves checked on. And that is so important. And that really leads and drives the culture. When anything doesn't align with kind of our end game or our goal or our mission, we make sure we address it and we talk about it. But you asked about how does it really impact the students. So students with disabilities, I think, to the most possible way, feel like they're just any other student in the class.
They're just a kid. I'm a kid.
Yeah, they're just a kid. And we talk a lot about everyone's unique needs. We identify that everyone has strengths and challenges. Everyone has obstacles to overcome. We really focus on a growth mindset. So I don't think that our students really associate with the word disabled. A lot of times we'll have parents say things like, "Maya, you don't focus on my child's disabilities, you focus on their capabilities." And that is like the biggest compliment we could possibly ever have. So they're incorporated, they're spending social time, they're coached and modeled, like things are always coached and modeled for them when they need support. And our, you know, non-disabled students have really stepped up and shown us some amazing empathy, mm-hmm. compassion, leadership. We have students that are in our building in wheelchairs. We have other students who work towards being their helper to get them on the bus in the afternoon and sit with them, sit together at lunch. And so there's just this sense of community that I think is missing in so many places. And I just feel so blessed that we have it in our building.
Yeah,
because it's just like nothing else I've ever experienced.
That's a blessing for your kids. That's so cool. And everybody wins. Everybody wins. Yeah. It's just, yeah. And I love the fact that that students, the neurodivergence, we talk about neurodivergence and the students that are typical are not seeing them as not typical, just as part of it. It's just a part of their world and what they do, And that's so fantastic because the kids are the ones that are going to win when we do it right. The kids are the ones that win, right?
Yeah. And we have a lot of conversations that are just really allow us to be able to teach them those things, right? Our students are allowed to ask questions. They're allowed to ask questions about other people's disabilities. We teach them and coach them and guide them how to be respectful to one another, but also still be interested and curious about each other's differences. And I think that really eliminates any bullying,
Nice.
But certainly if things arise where students are being unkind and pointing out a disability or a disadvantage in a negative way, that's addressed immediately because it's just not tolerated here. And, We talk a lot about acceptance and how we all want to be accepted for who we are. And that's just really commonplace here. And so that's not just for our students with disabilities. That's for all of our students. And there's a level of acceptance that is just so important because I think it really cuts down on the bullying and things are addressed immediately, and it just makes everybody feel safe and comfortable because psychological safety, I think, is something that we really overlook when we talk about safety in schools. And that's something that we really make sure that we highlight and prioritize.
Yeah. And I suspect that some of the students will also defend if a child is being kind of mistreated, their peers are going to step in up for them too. With the kind of environment that you're fostering, I can see that being just a natural piece of it.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, which is the best. I mean, that's just absolutely the best that you can ask for of your kids and how we want our society to be, all of the things that we're fighting for. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Everybody wants what's best for the kids. And I think that's 1,000% true is we want what's best for the kids, right? We want them. This is our next generation. And what you guys are doing is fostering that camaraderie and that community. And that's important, really important. So,
yeah, it's really important. And it takes a lot of hard work. And I have a really wonderful, dedicated staff that is really committed to doing that work. And, like I said, when there's a person or an action that doesn't align with our end goal and our mission, we address that immediately. And it's just not acceptable to not be on board with that. It's our expectations. We have very high expectations. We support our students and our staffs to meet those expectations.
Right.
Because teaching them skills, and that goes for the staff too, and the adults too, is teaching them those skills and that mindset of just acceptance and support is something that, like you mentioned, will benefit everyone for years to come, and it benefits our community as a whole.
Well, for sure. Yeah. Okay. I have one last question that I ask all of my podcast guests. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in the school, what would you want to solve?
There's so many things. I know that's a tough question. If there's one thing that I could solve, I think that it would be the mindset of our political climate mm-hmm. in terms of the value that we place on teachers and on those that serve our most cherished possessions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see the work that my teachers do every day with the most challenging of situations, and they show up every day and they do what's best for kids. Yeah. And teachers just don't get enough credit. We know they don't make enough money, mm-hmm. certainly not in the charter school world, but I would really love to see teachers and school personnel treated as the professionals and the experts that they are.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's part of what we're trying to do here is just get the beautiful things in the world that are happening out there. You know, I mean, we're brighter together. That's the name of the podcast because we truly are brighter together. So, you know, thank you for being on here, Annie. It has been just a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn more about what you're doing or are interested in your program? How could they reach you?
Well, they could reach me directly at my email address. My personal email address is growinleadership1@gmail.com. You could check us out on our school website, www.hillsdaleprep.org. Or you can find me on TikTok at Grow in Leadership. And I talk all the time about the kind of leadership that I do and the wonderful things that we're doing for our students.
Well, hopefully we will get this podcast on there for you. That would be fantastic. You can share us there. I'm excited about that. We actually are stepping into TikTok. It's a new area for me. So I'm the old one. I don't know anything about this stuff, but I got smart people. So many smart people. That's the thing. You know, it's like you put really passionate, smart people around you and they just make you look super. So, and you succeed. Because of them. So
that's exactly right.
I'm always grateful for my staff, 100%. It's just as you were saying, it's like, I couldn't do this work alone and I never will. I don't want to. None of us want to live in a vacuum, right? So, well, thank you again so much. It has been such a pleasure, Annie, to get to know you and to see what you're doing and to know this is happening in a place that is near and dear to my heart. So keep up the.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. It's been a wonderful opportunity.